Recording in progress.
There we go.
What?
And
Paul
Paul's
is just
muted.
A talking head that is muted.
Sup, nerds.
Hello.
Hello, Paul.
Hi.
Hello, JJ.
Have you ever gone on a trip and realized that you forgot your laptop charger and you have to try and make your laptop battery last over multiple days?
Yeah. Mine I cut my cable in my bag one time. Yeah, that was fun.
Now, I've heard of cable cutters, but I'm not sure that's what they meant.
No, that wasn't what they meant.
Yeah.
But what's fun, Paul?
I discovered that, like, Seattle is a pretty tech-heavy place, right? And downtown Seattle has, like, 35 AWS offices. There is not a single store in downtown Seattle that sells things like laptop chargers.
Aren't you supposed to use Amazon Prime Now in Seattle? Yeah. Like, isn't that how it works?
Yeah. Like, there's an Amazon office there, too, last time I checked.
Right, but you can't go to the Amazon office and get a laptop charger. It's in a warehouse somewhere.
You can use them. They're based there.
JJ's just starting trouble.
Yeah.
He's trying to tell you just go walk into an Amazon office and to go, can I borrow that? Plug in your laptop.
Well, I mean, I did spend the week in an Amazon office, so I was able to plug into a charger when I needed to, right? But it's still strange not actually having a charging device. Anyway, this is all, I'm saying all of this just to let you know that if I suddenly disappear, it's not that I don't love you, it's that my battery doesn't love me.
So and then I won't
it's not magic.
And then I won't be able to work for the rest of the day. How unfortunate
horrible.
Is that?
It's horrible.
All I hear is we just need to standardize on USB-C on everything.
Well, you do, but the problem is your laptop needs like so many watts.
That's true.
Right. That's true. And like this thing, even a 65 watt USB-C charger, unless it's specifically for a laptop, this thing's like, I appreciate the effort, but no thanks.
Which one do you have? Which laptop?
It's one of the Lenovo ThinkPads.
Oh, but
I think because it's like the i7 with like a kajillion gigs of RAM and everything, its power draw requirements are high.
Nice.
And for whatever reason, it won't take a like. If you don't have enough watts, it just refuses instead of saying, I'll take what you can give me. So,
that's weird.
That is weird.
So this brings up the question. How do you all manage your packing list whenever you're traveling, since we're now starting to travel again?
Mm-hmm.
So I actually don't have a packing list. I usually just like, I have stuff that never comes out of my bag, like a laptop charger and a power cord, you know, those the little power donut things. A bunch of stuff like that. And somehow I took them out. And thus I traveled and then realized that, oh no. But in general, I don't do a packing list. I know what needs to be packed and I pack it. And occasionally I miss something and I just buy it or replace it or go without.
Okay. I mean, I was going to make some jokes about this being episode 404 and not found.
Forgetting things. But, I always forget. Something on every trip I take, every single trip. Like I always forget something, and I even have lists, and I check it multiple times before going. But there's always something, and it ranges from some diabetic supply to my boxers, right? Like it's really bonkers. My best story about it is actually first time I'd ever gone to Vegas. In my life, it was a work trip for a week, and I flew into Vegas. I got to the Luxor because I didn't know where to stay, so I stayed in the Luxor. And I opened up my bag and I started figuring out all my stuff to make sure I have everything. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, "Oh, I have no boxers." So instead of me like exploring Vegas, the first thing I do is I get in a Lyft and go to Target to be like, okay, there we go. So
nice.
Yeah.
See, I have a checklist. I do always forget something. because that's like tradition mm-hmm. almost. Whenever I go travel anywhere, I have to forget something. So there are things that I specifically leave off that list that I do not normally need because I'm going to forget something. And then I feel better once I'm in the car and go, I forgot that thing mm-hmm. on the way to the airport. I'm like, I forgot that thing. Okay. I forgot my one thing that I was going to forget. Now everything's okay. So I stopped panicking about forgetting something. It sounds really stupid, but it works. But yeah, so even the stuff that I do leave packed in my bag, I always have to visually see that it's still in there. Right. So I check it that way. But I have a to-do-ist, not to-do-ist. I use to-do-ist for other things, but I have a Microsoft to-do list that I have for travel that has everything.
Yeah. We actually had this conversation when we were in KCDC, Laura, where like the majority of stuff that I, at least I carry around, is all my diabetic stuff. Right.
Yeah.
Like I have to bring on a carry on onto the plane. I never check anything. Right. Cause only noobs Reasons. Check bags. Yeah. My whole like check bag is like all my diabetic supplies. And I'm like, I just didn't have to have my diabetic stuff. I could live out of this backpack that I have, but unfortunately I don't. You, on the other hand, that was impressive what you had.
Oh, my single bag plus my purse, and that's it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was showing JJ. So we both were at KCDC. We caught the same lift back to the airport together, just because it was simpler for both of us. And we had thought like, oh, we'll catch lunch and then everything. But I forgot. I mean, I lived there, but I forgot how KC Airport is not connected. Though supposedly their terminals are getting all connected soon, but there are these three C's. C-shaped buildings all kind of clustered together, but they're not connected. So each terminal is its own little part of the C. And the food is depending on which terminal you're in. Some parts of the airport have food and some parts don't. Mm-hmm. So I still remember when we first moved to Kansas City, I was so weirded out because there was one place to check all your bags and like everybody was in line for their tickets and their check bags and all this fun stuff. And we were going to just go through security. Well, there's like a security checkpoint for every 4 or 5 gates. Mm-hmm. So you get through security really fast. And then you realize on the other side, there's vending machines and that's it. Yeah. It's gotten better in some parts of the terminal, but also our Lyft driver was telling us that the terminals were in the process of getting changed over to a much larger terminal that was all connected, but something happened. So all of the restaurants closed, but the terminals were still open and still in use. So like half of the places were closed. So I hope mm-hmm. you eventually found food, JJ, because we didn't get a chance to actually eat lunch. I did, because I forgot that the one place that I remembered was still open in the Southwest terminal. But that was interesting.
I ended up finding a Starbucks that was open. And it's it was very like, it's the terminals are also like really thin. If that's a good way to describe mm-hmm. it, like there's not a lot of space between the narrow. Thank you. And it feels really weird. And my flight ended up being delayed about 3.5 hours. I think 4 hours was it.
So, I got lucky. I got out right before you did. Right when I got there, my flight was able to make it, and then yours hit all the weather.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. So, I was giving updates with my new aviation nerd skills. I was giving updates to everyone, anyone who's around me.
Right.
And the more I've dug into this whole space of like aviation information, it's fascinating. There's this whole world that, like, let's put it this way. I have learned now, obviously I'm not the type of person that would yell at like a gate agent or something like that, right? Like I'm not that person. Of course, I get frustrated. Everybody does, especially when you've been traveling for n number of hours. But now that I actually see behind the curtain and all the stuff that happens with aviation, I am like, you know what? If something goes wrong, I'm going to go find myself a beer and I'm going to sit down and do nothing, because these people have no control of what's happening. They're just making sure we don't die. That is literally their job.
Basically, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, when I was younger, my dad was a pilot and he'd like check all the weather. This is actually how I got into weather, was because he would get all the weather bulletins And I learned how to read weather maps from his weather bulletins long before I went to college.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I learned all about all that fun stuff. And, you know, we got to radio up to the tower and do all those things. So it was kind of cool. Yeah. But yeah, aviation's a really fascinating thing. And even like weight. And I still have not figured out how they ensure that we don't go overweight on a plane. Because there are definitely people who bring ridiculously big things. And like, you don't have to declare it ahead of time. I don't think.
Fudge space, right? Like fudge.
Yeah, but distance. I mean, there's only so much. Mm. What if everyone, like, there was actually a discussion as I'm standing waiting for that flight at the Southwest gate where I was, because they have you get in line early because you're doing the numbers game. I'm hearing this one gate attendant training another one, and they're talking about weight and how they have like extra cargo that they add on and which ones they could bump if it turns out that the stuff that everyone weighed in was heavier than expected and how much money they have to pay out for each thing that was going off. And I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. Maybe you shouldn't be reading this. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but it was definitely kind of fascinating to listen to about all that weight stuff. I don't know.
You know, we were promised flying cars as kids. And the more I learn about the aviation world, I don't want flying cars. I really don't.
I'd rather have trains.
Yeah, exactly. There are way too many things going on up above us that I'm not saying that we all drive drunk or anything, but after a glass of wine or two and trying to get into a flying car just seems like a bad idea. Just saying.
Right, but I think fully self-driving vehicles will happen before flying cars happen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at that point,
I mean, we're all signed up for the experiment, also, whether you like it or not.
But also, like, I don't know. I think decent mass transit is a much more sensible option than flying cars. Or we can just skip straight to teleportation.
What about the Futurama tubes?
Right?
Whoop.
The pneumatic tubes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically where Elon Musk got his idea from for Hyperloop, right?
Yeah.
He's acting like he invented this new thing and he didn't just see it on a fucking Futurama rerun.
I was going to say he just drove by a bank and right. went, oh, look.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What if I put a human in that?
At least he didn't do like a shrink ray first. We'll shrink you and then put you on those tubes. Like, it's like, we're not going to do that. I think it's okay.
And what was it? I think yesterday they announced that something with him and T-Mobile. Did you see this?
Yeah. They're going to do space mobile or something. And they're connecting up T-Mobile to the Starlink version 2 satellites or something to try to get rid of the dead spots on data. And then they're going to do voice and something in like another year after that. But
so the idea is that if you're a T-Mobile user, you now have a satellite phone. Is that what's going on? Is that how I'm reading that?
I think basically, yeah. You know, reinventing the wheel again.
Of course.
There's like the cell tower service, even like how far can your phone even communicate with another device?
So that's actually, I saw a video about this over while I was stuck on the ground in an airport about how cell towers work and how the 5G network works. So first of all, if you didn't know, they've actually cut up, well, at least in the United States, if you're from somewhere else in the world, I don't know how your country does this. But in the United States, they've hexized all of the United States as like locations where they put cell towers in the center of those hexes to be able to have cross, so they have continual communication. And the way the signal's done is actually like with pitch now. It's crazy because of how many channels and all. But the challenge is those signals are only designed to go as far as your phone can go, right? So that hex thing, I think, is like, I think, was it 15 square miles? I think. No, this doesn't sound right. Sounds too big. But the point being is your point, Paul, it's my iPhone can't reach space.
Right.
Like it doesn't do that. Right. Like it's not designed to do that.
Right. Like to use Starlink, you need this giant fucking device with a dish or antenna or whatever it has.
Yeah.
And somehow we're going to connect our T-Mobile to that. I wonder if what they're talking about maybe is having T-Mobile POPs that are backed by Starlink.
Oh.
So rather than putting the POP in space, they're using the Starlink as the backhaul for POPs, and that way it's easier to put a POP somewhere. And I've just realized I'm saying POP, and that's probably not a word anyone uses anymore.
Yeah, maybe for some listeners, you're going to have to explain that one.
But it was point of presence, I think, was what it was. And that would be like ISPs and stuff would have a POP where you could dial into. So you had local calls to dial into the internet. Imagine that, dialing into the internet.
Dialing in.
And then that would have some sort of like, ISDN or something backhaul, or T1 or something to the ISP's actual network.
Mm-hmm. There's something for legacy conf right there.
There you go.
Having that discussion.
Nice.
But
I guess that would make sense too, is if the tower was self-powered, like with solar or whatever, you could drop it in a more remote location and not have to run the fiber and all that stuff to it, which now they become just like you do in Factorio. Yeah. You drop your little radar in the middle of nowhere. So
I guess, you don't really have to negotiate land rights on Factorio, though, right?
That is true. That is true. You can just, kill the bugs. Real
life land rights and stuff. Small things.
Small things.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Speaking of travel, though, out of the last six trips, I think I've been on six trips since the last time we've recorded, which is surprising when you think about it. Every single trip I've had, minus one, I've had massive delays.
Mm-hmm.
And these like we're talking like hour plus hours where my travel agency through IBM call me being like, are you okay? Can we get you onto the next, like, can we fix your flights? Because we are worried you're going to be stuck there longer.
You're lucky.
That would be nice. There's not even any point talking to them. You just call the airline directly.
Oh, yeah.
No, get actual travel agencies. Like,
I would actually rather
I'm my travel agency here. Like, that's how this works.
I would rather have that than what I do have.
Really?
Because at least then you have, like, agency over the whole thing. Whereas, I have to book through the, corporate travel system. And in theory, I'm supposed to make any... it's not even Concourse.
Oh, really?
Right.
Sorry.
Egencia. That was a nightmare back in the day.
that's sir. That is what we use.
Oh, I'm so sorry. And
it's probably still the same, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh no.
Yeah. And of course, when you log in for the first time, there's all these pop up saying, "We're sorry. We're understaffed because everyone's understaffed, and unless it's emergency." Just use the website. But of course, you can't actually use the website for anything but actually booking the ticket. Any changes and stuff has to be done over the phone.
Yep.
But also, once you've booked it, you can almost always just change it with your airline itself.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up booking it through Egencia, but any subsequent changes, it's so much easier to just use the airline, especially with the apps, right? So I was in Seattle this week doing light boarding up at AWS, and we were done early. So I'm like, I'm going to fly Thursday instead of Friday. And so like 2 minutes in the United app, I've changed my flight to Thursday. And then another 2 minutes in the Marriott app, and I've like changed my hotel reservation. And I was like, wow, this was amazing. Like, and like a couple other people on the trip aren't at the point where they have all the apps because they're sort of a bit newer to traveling. And so they're like calling travel agents and calling airlines and calling hotels, and I'm like, this is so much easier, just get the apps and sign up and Also, you want points, right? So sign up in the apps to get the points. Speaking of which, I got the Chase Sapphire card at the start of the year, and I've been enjoying the fact that I can, like, most airports I've gone to has had something I can go in. So they either have a lounge partnership, or they have a partnership with a restaurant or something in a lot of airports. So
you have the black one then. You have the
reserve.
Yeah, you have the reserve because I have the preferred. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. That's, I've been looking at that going, do I travel enough to make this make sense? Probably not. Not yet. Right. So.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's a good card.
Yeah, the agent that we use, or we've used the American Express travel agencies.
And American Express Global Business Travel.
That's right. And I don't get any of the points or anything, unfortunately, through this. Like, it's a trade-off, right? Mm. Where I have this agent that has, like, they at least they claim they have access to stuff across the board. And if something goes horribly wrong with my travel, which the whole reason why I started this is that things went horribly wrong with my last travels bits. They have the ability to immediately get me on other flights that are usually not my preferred. So if something, if I need to get home, like when I was stuck in Berlin, they were able to, like, I was on the phone with them and they got me on three different flights outside of Berlin to get home within the time frame that I needed to be at home at.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really neat. I didn't get the one that I really wanted, which was, you know, first class from Amsterdam directly to Austin through Lufthansa. I was so close. I was this close to getting that. By the way, visual medium, my fingers are very close to one another right now. but they ended up putting me on the direct flight from London to Austin through BA. And the reason I'm mentioning this is I met one of the band members of Churches on that flight. Turns out he was right in front of me in the line when we were trying to get on the plane. And he got me tickets to Float Fest, where I was, like, right there with him while Churches was playing on stage and all, and got to see a few places. So one advantage of traveling around the world is you randomly run into people because you're just like, hey, I know that album. And he's like, yeah, I wrote the songs on it. I'm like, oh my God, you're the guy.
Nice. So, question, you said you don't get points. You're just talking about credit card points, right? You still get miles on your airline.
Miles, yeah. I get miles. Yeah, yeah. But I'm not like the... Well, the problem is there's, at least on American, which is what I fly on, it's a double-edged thing. You need to charge, like, if you charge the... Like, you get the miles, but you also now have these loyalty points that come from actual dollar spend. So I don't get to get the dollar spend. So when I'm spending significant amount of money flying everywhere, I get the miles, but I don't get the actual charges to my account. So then I have to find other ways to make that, to make sure I get the status on top of it, which is a little annoying.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. See, it's almost like they're getting wise to the fact that some people can't afford paying for it themselves. And so their company pays for it, but they get the points anyway.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still flying. There still should be some loyalty there.
Yeah.
You would think. But
yeah. I started putting the my flights into, like, a flight tracker system just to, like, start seeing how many hours I'm in the air.
Mm-hmm.
It made me sad.
Yeah.
I stopped doing it.
Are you at the point when you're not, where you can't have any more potassium, so bananas are banned from your house?
I don't
like bananas.
The whole radiation thing.
Huh?
No,
don't know what you're talking
about. There's an XKCD comic about how much radiation you get doing general everyday things. And one of them is eating a banana. Another one is how often you're in the plane. Okay. Sorry, nerd joke. Just completely fell flat. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I tried.
That was good. It's good. XKCD is always great. But
it is a good comic, yeah.
The artist has, like, actually made themselves public now, haven't they? Don't they, like, work at Google
Random
or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
XKCD? Randall's written books.
Really?
Like, there's XKCD books, XKCD Explains, and XKCD Explains 2. And you need to see these books. They're amazing. we have.
I guess
or,
I do.
Or yeah. Sorry, what if and what if two. So there's XKCD mm-hmm. was the original from Randall, and then he did like a blog that does like ridiculous explaining of like scientific things, mm-hmm. but takes them way to the extreme. They're really fun. And that I think was called whatif.xkcd, I think is where it is. I forget. I just have bookmarks and it's just easy. I click them and we go. I don't remember the URLs. But anyway, that turned into books about what if, and it's going through like theoretical situations with ridiculous physics, basically. And then there were more books that came out and I can't remember. But yeah, Randall's been like out there talking about it for a long time now.
He was very like reclusive for a while though, right? Like, I'm not crazy.
Oh, I think so.
I think you're crazy, but, like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're definitely crazy. Yeah. It's the only logical explanation.
Yeah.
So speaking of, I don't know why I just suddenly thought of it, but have you all listened to the Land of the Giants podcast? I feel like we may have talked about it in the past.
You mentioned this.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
So they do basically like sum up like the evolution of the like basically FANG. So they're doing Facebook right now. And so they're sort of talking through the very early, you know, the original, the Facebook, and like they interviewed, like, I mean, I was never on the original because I was too old and I wasn't a student at the time, right? But they interviewed some people that were involved in some of the early active like on Facebook, like protesting against Facebook things. So that, like, it used to be back before it was open for everyone, like the only, like, there was no feed. You would just like click on each other's profiles to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so they introduced the feed and like 10% of Facebook were like angry and protesting it. And they're actually interviewing like the guy that had the like the largest like anti-news feed, like Facebook group, you know, and stuff. So it's kind of been interesting. And they can sort of then go through, you know, they just talked a little bit about the Cambridge Analytica stuff and, you know, the various points Zucks had to come out and go, oh yeah, how bad we fucked up, but you can still trust us. They talked through the whole like Zynga Farmville stuff where like they tried to make Facebook this massive open platform and then places like Zynga and stuff like got too big and so they sort of closed it back again and, you know, it's kind of interesting. And I think they're about to start hitting the like the change to Meta and whatnot. But it is, and they've done, previously they've done Netflix, Google, Apple, and I think one or two others. It's definitely, it is a really interesting podcast to just sort of hear about it all. Yeah. And they're proper, like, I can't remember which. Yeah, they're proper journalists from one of the newspapers or whatever. So they're like, the quality of the details is like really good.
Huh.
So it's not like a Huffington Post best of 10 or something.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Meta, did you all see the new like screenshots of the metaverse from them and how people are like ripping into it? Cause it's like, wow, all this money and all this stuff. And it looks like kind of a ripoff of Roblox.
Yep.
Roblox. Sorry.
Yeah,
I keep saying Roblox. Yeah. I know it's not the same thing.
Well,
I was basically all this money went into all this stuff, and it's like these little disembodied torsos with arms, and you know, everybody's like, "Wow, that looks really Meta."
The Mies or the Mies or Mies Meeples?
I don't know.
From the
that's
Wii,
Apple, right? Oh yeah,
that's Wii. Yeah. Wii. Yeah, that's Wii. Yeah,
they looked better. They looked the Wii. It looked better on the Wii than what he was having. And I've actually I have a thing, and I've hopped into like the world occasionally. Oculus. I've actually hopped in a couple times just to kind of like fuck around in there. And there's one game that is surprisingly good and it's free called, which is like Poker All-Stars, which makes you like play poker with fake money. But the actual like official Facebook or Meta worlds are you can tell someone spent more time making the environment stale or not stale.
Clinical?
Unchanging?
Clinical is a good word for it. Very, very like clean lines, very like hospital-ish, where they're trying not to like show any favoritism at anything. So they spent all this effort to make it that way. And then forgetting that, well, okay, cool. I can like stand on this platform and pick up a paper plane and like throw it. And I see it and it goes into a box and I wait, get a point. Yay. And I can talk to like some random human beside me. And that's
it. Have you been to the Chipotle store?
No.
What?
I think it was Chipotle opened a Chipotle store in the middle first.
Okay, I will, as soon as I get off of this, I'm going to
have to see. Chipotle Meta.
Go order a virtual burrito.
Fans can roll burritos at Chipotle. It's literally on their newsroom. Fans can roll burritos at Chipotle in the metaverse to earn burritos in real life. Are you kidding me? So I mean, basically here, go work behind the counter. You earn a real burrito.
All right, JJ, here's what
this
I want from you.
Oh, wait, that's Roblox. This
is Roblox. This isn't metaverse. Okay. This is Roblox.
That makes me feel a little bit better.
She plays this game all the fucking time. I'll be like, hey, you want your Chipotle because you ask for it all the time. Go to Roblox and start earning some. Oh, this is great. I'm sending this to my wife right now.
All right, JJ, here's a mission for you. Do a video recording of you working at the virtual Chipotle for us.
There we go.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
We have to be able to submit orders to you. That would be the best part.
Have you played many games on the Oculus, JJ?
Yeah. So I haven't spent too much money because there's the actual cost of the games are weird. They came in really high, right? Mm-hmm. And now there's like this Oculus 30 that knocks 30% off because they saw that no one was buying any of the new games. Because they were ridiculously high, and it's the equivalent of like an iPhone attached to your face, right? So you can't really get great graphics out of it or anything. But they're starting to port some older stuff to it, which is neat. I enjoyed the Resident Evil 4. I lost hours into that, not even realizing it, where I had to figure out a way to like plug in my Oculus to a plug while I'm sitting on a chair so I can continue playing it. Right. I also started playing Republic, which was like a little, what's it called? Dystopian future-y thing where you're trying to get this girl out of a prison and you control like cameras around her. So you tell her where to go from a third person point of view where you are like opening doors and stuff like that. It's kind of like a little hacker kind of thing.
Have you played either Supernatural or Agent Simulator?
So I've seen them, but I don't think they're not on the Oculus though.
Yeah.
I thought they were on Steam. Is that wrong?
No, they're on Oculus.
Okay. No, I haven't. And also I don't have a computer that I can plug in to do the PC VR stuff. I can only do the stuff on the actual Oculus, which is unfortunate.
So these two, the premise of these two games is time only moves when you move.
Mm.
And so you pop up and there's a scenario where people are shooting at you or whatever. And so you have objects in front of you, sometimes guns, sometimes bottles, sometimes like an axe or something. Mm-hmm. And so it's quasi puzzle because you have to work out how to get to the object. And then either shoot the people or throw it at the people to hit them or whatever before they hit you. And then as bullets are coming towards you, if you stop moving, the bullet stops moving. So you have to sort of duck out of the way. But while you're ducking is when it starts moving. And then if there's four people shooting at you, you've got four bullets coming at you in different times. And so you have to sort of weave through them. It's a really fun game mechanic.
Hmm.
That's clever. Interesting. That's really clever. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
And the reason I mentioned the agent simulator is because there's actually like a developer sandbox that you can get onto and play a bunch of like free under development games or like indie games and stuff. That's it's a couple of hoops to jump through, but
Yeah, I do like it with, at least on, they call it the App Lab.
I think that's it.
Yeah. There's a one that's like called create your dungeon master or something like that. Where it's a pass-through game where you put your headset on and then you figure out your house or whatever, and you put in traps and things inside your house, and then you play through those traps. So you have to like jump over, like if you have your couch or like my couch behind me, again, visual medium, I could put like a something on top of it. So if I try to like touch the couch, I like fall into some traps, some spikes or whatever, which is neat.
There are so many ways you could mess with somebody who's playing that game in your house, though.
Oh yeah.
Like, I mean, that's the first thing I think of is like, oh, okay. What can I put in your bed? What can I do to the system to really mess with you?
Or you just wait till they're playing and then sneak up behind them with an air horn and blast them.
But yeah, if I saw somebody wandering around the house with a headset on going like jumping around things, I'd be like, all right, yeah. This is different.
They've also released one where they turn your house, if it walks around your house and figures out everything, it can actually turn your house into like a spaceship where the different rooms become different control centers or the spaceship. So if you're like flying through space and aliens show up, you got to go to the room that has like all the guns and all to like fire at the alien spaceship, and then go back to the bridge to change the direction of it. It's quite brilliant. Like there's huge potential here. There really is.
It's fun. It's also just making me giggle a lot because there's just, I'm picturing it as the person watching, not as the person playing. Oh, yeah. Like suddenly you're there and all right, who can't not make little pew pew noises if you're there firing this imaginary weapon at an alien, right? Like
it's true.
You're going to be sitting there doing it and I'm going to be filming you with my camera. Like this is going up on YouTube in like 2 minutes. So
I've gotten so close though to actually take the Oculus with me on the plane. I still haven't done it mainly because watching a movie on it is great. It really is.
Really?
Oh yeah.
It really is. Compared to what I usually watch, like you can also download YouTube videos too, to it. Right. And I watch YouTube videos and random things on the plane, like everybody, right? But I'm sitting there with like my phone in front of me. I even thought about getting like the little thing you put your phone on so you don't have to hold it the whole time because stupid small tables and all that jazz. Like if I could sit there with the Oculus on and then with these headphones on top of it, like it with a mask, like I look like nobody's going to bother me because I'm just like, everybody fuck off. Like I can't see you, can't hear you, you can't hear me. I'm going to sit in this corner and just like enjoy watching, you know, random TV show that I haven't had a chance to watch or movie. I haven't seen it.
I kind of like this idea of saying like, leave me alone. I'm going to put my little shield down in front of my face.
Exactly.
Leave me alone.
So
that makes sense.
Fortunately, the battery doesn't last that long.
Oh, well,
yeah. Such is life, I guess.
Interesting.
So I did an experiment with my bread making a couple days ago. Monday. I made focaccia bread. Not sourdough focaccia, but just normal. I gave it a 24-36 ish hour rise in my fridge beforehand. But unfortunately, I think my fridge is too cold because I think it froze it. So it did rise compared to what it was, but it didn't rise as much as I was expecting. But the flavor was amazing, which is nice. So I'm planning on making another one next week, but I'm going to change the location of where I put it in the fridge. Hopefully make sure it's not too cold.
Yeah. So the top and bottom of the fridge are usually the coldest. So if you try and get it into a middle rack, that'll definitely help. Mm-hmm. And like if it hasn't risen enough, just like leave it out of the fridge for 4 or 5 hours and let it sort of come back up to temperature and kind of rise naturally in the room temperature.
Yeah.
That also works. I was also going to say,
look for where the blowers are. Make sure it's not under the blowers in the fridge.
Good point. Yeah.
So from the actual bread recipe, I assume you added some oil into the mix that you wouldn't normally, like a big glug of olive oil. Anything else you did differently?
No, I just found a really basic recipe for it. And I it was just straightforward. I didn't even actually add any herbs or anything to it. I just put salt on it and stretched it out. But the base one, what I didn't do, I didn't put nearly enough butter underneath it on the glass pan. So when it cooked.
I would never put butter on it underneath it. It's too hot. It's too hot. It'll burn. Use oil.
Oil? Okay. Maybe I should put more.
Yeah. So I would definitely use olive oil, or you can cheat and use like the spray on cooking oil, especially if you've got like olive oil or whatever. I definitely wouldn't do butter because you do run the risk of it there. Because you're cooking at pretty high temps, so you can burn the butter.
450.
Yeah. So that's what, like, remember, butter's smoke point is like pretty low. And so you end up with the milk solids and stuff can burn and then just kind of create acrid burnt tastes. So I would definitely do olive oil or any kind of oil, really. But, you know, there is like an focaccia has like an undercurrent of olive oil as part of the flavor profile. So you kind of want to double down on that. And did you put like a little bit of oil at the top and dimple it and everything?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But underneath it though, I didn't put nearly enough because when the focaccia cooked, it cooked and like cooked itself to the glass pan, which was fucking annoying.
Right. So the other thing that you can do to help with that is put down a like parchment paper.
Oh yeah. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah. You sort of cut a square of parchment paper to be exactly the bottom of the thing. You still have the sides, but it's like if it does glue itself to the sides, it's a lot easier to deal with than the whole bottom.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's I didn't even think about that. That's a good idea. So that was my most recent adventure cooking.
I haven't really had any cooking adventures because I've been in Seattle for the week and, you know, can't really cook inside the Westin. Well, they frown upon it on you when you try and make a grilled cheese sandwich with an iron in your room. They don't like that.
Yeah, kind of figured on that one.
Yeah. I did go to, and I'm sure JJ, you've been there at least once. I did go to Biscuit Bitch.
Ah, yes. Good place.
Yeah.
To what?
Biscuit Bitch.
There's kind three of them, right? There's three of them.
Huh.
Two. There's one just near the, was it not Fisherman's Wharf? What's the, what's the pier? Navy? Pikes. No, not Pike's Place.
Pike's Place.
There's one right near Pike's Place, and there's one in Belltown.
Yep.
And the Belltown one is pretty close to the Amazon office we were at.
So, all right, so two of the people need to go there.
Yes, need to go to Biscuit Bitch and get the hot mess.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's basically biscuits, gravy, two over easy eggs, a hot link, and like a pile of pickled jalapenos.
Okay.
Best eaten after a long night on the drinks.
Yep. It's a Seattle staple. More so than coffee in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. So. Oh, and JJ, I cheated on Din Tai Fung while I was there.
Yeah? Yeah.
I went to Do Zone, I think it was called, or Do House.
Oh, I've been there. Do Zone?
It was really good.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So the one that I went to was by the convention center, like on 7th and something.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good.
Yeah.
We ate so
welcome to the Seattle podcast where we talk about local Seattle food and adventures inside of Seattle.
Nice. Nice. Well, I was on, I said I was going to be on a deck watching the rain at the lake, and I did.
And it was nice.
And nice. I have pictures of the barbecue. I basically got to watch while other people cooked.
And
his dad had fun arguing about how to make the beans properly, how to make the ribs properly.
Right.
You know, there was lots of that going on. But I just got to sit there and take pictures so we can make everyone else jealous of the ribs. Nice. So it was great. The ribs were really
to continue cool. The joke from last week, whose deck were you sitting on?
Hey. So it's Bill's dad. Bill is Landon's dad. So it was Landon's dad's house and Landon's dad's deck. But I was sitting in a chair. Just saying. All right. So for those of you who missed it last week's podcast, there is a YouTube video now linked in the show notes. You need to go watch that for context because I had not seen that yet. And it was so bad.
It's one of the best things I've ever
hilarious.
Seen.
I am so thankful that I am not working in an office where if I watched that, I'd be laughing so hard. Everybody had to come and see what's on your screen. What are you watching? Why are you watching an ad about decks and caulking? What is going on? Yeah, it was pretty special. So, but well, we're almost up at the hour. What do y'all have planned this weekend? You think fun?
I'm going to the SDT meetup. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Our grandpappy's
SDT meetup.
Yeah, our grandpappy's podcast.
Oh wow! Right? Are they all in town?
Kote is, and Brandon obviously is, because Kote was at DevOps Days Dallas this last week. A lot of the DevOps Womenati were there, which was interesting.
Nice.
Yeah. And
this time next week, I'll be frantically packing bags because I'm heading to Australia.
Yay! Oh. That's exciting.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for you.
Thanks, man.
Should be good.
How long are you going for?
Not this weekend.
I'm going for the month.
Nice.
Yeah.
I haven't been in the future.
I haven't been back to see the family for 3 years. So it's nice to finally actually be able to do it.
There you go. Time traveling, living in the future.
Right.
Nice. Let's see. Oh, and also another thing. It is official as of yesterday. I am a 6U girls softball coach, head coach. So.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I now get to help teach T-ball. Softball to fit 5, 6, and 7 year old girls.
Wait, T-ball and softball are two different things.
Well, it's a softball with a T. It's a softball on a T.
Yeah, so that's T-ball.
Wait, when? Yeah. No. Wait. When did T-ball suddenly become with a softball? Like, when I did T-ball, it was definitely still a baseball.
Oh, I don't know. This is the 6U, which is the very first. Age group, which is 5, 6, 7,
okay,
and it's T-ball with a softball. So
see, I think that's not as fun as it was, you know, wailing around with a baseball bat trying to hit a baseball versus a softball. Like, I had to learn how to hit a baseball, and it helped when I then played softball, because you know, you had to be a lot more precise with that bat. So
that is true,
but. I've knocked over many a tee and nearly taken out some people with the baseball bat then. So, JJ, maybe you might want to wear like the catcher paraphernalia when you first go to teach them. Just saying.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But it's good stuff. Like, I'm actually really excited.
Should be good. Congratulations.
Yeah. So we'll see how this works. Don't know what the team name is. Because our first practice is actually on Monday. Okay. So that's going to be, I'll report back what happens.
Good.
And then hopefully I'm not going to be bruised and beaten too badly. We'll see. How about you, Laura?
Good deal. Good deal. Good deal. Should be fun.
So how about you, Laura? What are you doing this weekend?
Well, I'm going to be coming also to the SDT meetup, I hope. I think everything got cleared off for me to be able to go do that. And then I've got the, I'm part of the Pi Texas Foundation now. I am helping out with Pi Texas and doing a lot of things with the Python groups here. And I volunteered to make their website. So I'll probably be spending a little bit of time coding on that.
What? Do it all in JavaScript. Yeah, in Rust.
Well, so somebody was like bringing up like, I'm going to build it in Hugo. I'm like, no, you're not. Like, this is a Python group. We are using Pelican or Pyramid. Get used to it. Because apparently they had a Django one and all of that, but they wanted to go more static site. So I'm like, I've built those a lot. So it's fine. I'll go build it. So that's probably, I'll probably be poking around at the code. I've got some plant stuff to fix up. I've moved a lot of my succulents. You can't really see them in this visual medium. I've moved a lot of my Hothoria and some of the other succulents and over to Leca, which is a semi-hydro setup. They are much happier in that, and I am having less of an issue keeping them watered because Texas. So I'll probably be doing a little more with that, kind of taking care of them a little bit. I don't know. I'm just going to probably just be bouncing around the house. So should be good. Nice, relaxing weekend, I hope. So yeah, should be good.
How about you, Paul?
Me, I am going to be doing as little as possible.
Okay.
So I have, I have zero plans, and I'm going to keep it that way.
Nice.
That works. You're going to try to make a grilled cheese in the Westin?
That's it. Going to make a grilled cheese on the iron.
There you go.
I'm going to get two irons and hold them together. That way I can grill both sides at the same time.
You can make a new friend, your neighbor. Be like, hey, can I borrow your iron for a little while?
I'll make you a grilled cheese.
I'll make a sandwich.
Yeah. Oh, it's awesome.
Only if they say pseudo first.
Nice.
What if they have nice.
Bring it back to XKCD.
And if they have a clothes steamer, I can make some dumplings too.
Oh, there you go.
Ooh. Oh, steamed dumplings. Hotel steamed dumplings.
Right.
I almost want to see you do a YouTube series, Paul, of not, you know, what would you eat, but how can you cook in a hotel room with just what you have? I want to see what you do.
Right. All right. My laptop just gave me the warning that it's going to shut down in like 1 minute.
That's it then.
All right. Bye, y'all.
All right. Bye.